When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your girl, Jessie Mae Peluso. This is episode 401, and we're doing another episode about the 90s. This is I Love the 90s, part deux. Because I love the 90s so much, I want to talk to you about it. But before we do, please rate the podcast. 5 stars. We're looking for a 5-star rating. You know it. I know it. We deserve it. Go on, make it happen. It's a quick little charitable event that you can make happen right now. I also want to apologize for anyone who bought tickets to my shows in Panama City Beach, Florida at the Beaches Comedy Club opening weekend. We had to reschedule due to extenuating circumstances. Everyone's okay, but we had to find another weekend. So if you want to see me live, just check out my tour dates on jessiemae.com/tour. Don't forget in New York. Oh, wait, not New York. In LA, I'm going to be in the Netflix is a Joke Fest May 10th at the Bourbon Room. One night, one show. Me and a bunch of friends. It's going to be so much fun. So make sure you get those tickets before they sell out. That's the Bourbon Room in Hollywood, California. I also have a bunch of other dates that we're adding on jessiemae.com/tour. And if you have any suggestions for episodes, guests, or ideas for episodes of the podcast, email us at jessiemaepelusocomedy@gmail.com. And without further ado, I hope you enjoy this episode dedicated to the 90s. Again, I Love the 90s, part deux.
Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's gonna get dirty. You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. Talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's gonna be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're gonna get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast, number 401, in your ear. You already know that you have to rate the pod. I'm not even going to it. You already know what we're doing. You already know that a portion of however you support me, merchandise-wise, or come in to see me live, a portion of that goes towards the Alzheimer's Association and Hilarity for Charity. I've been working with both of those foundations for a couple years now. Also, update, the Florida Beaches Club had to cancel and relocate my weekend, I guess we could say it. We had to reschedule, rather, and we'll get a new date on the books soon, but we are doing a different weekend, probably in the fall sometime, so sorry for anybody who bought tickets to that weekend. Nothing dramatic happened, it just was a conflict for the club, so sorry for everybody, but we will be back at some point. This is I Love the 90s Part 2. I don't know if you can see, I'm in my You Better Call Cleo t-shirt. This is not from the actual era of the 90s, much like my t-shirt was last week. This is a, you know, what they call a new old trend. I bought it probably at a Hot Topic or something in a mall on a weekend where I was trying to shop to avoid feeling lonely in some other city doing comedy for strangers. So I got a Miss Cleo shirt and I thought, how perfect for this episode. I don't know what has gotten into me that I want to talk about the 90s, but it was something that my assistant and I were just discussing and the fashion and all of that. So I'm on this 90s thing. Also, this necklace my sister got me is very 90s. Also from a new new time, not from the old time. So not all this is original. I'm the only thing on this show that is quote unquote from the 90s. Born in the 80s, lived in the 90s, came into my own in the 90s. And we're going to talk about a lot. We're going to talk about these. Ooh, if you know, you know. Not one, but two slap bracelets. Now, these are authentic. These will run you about, I don't know, $3.50 on the open market right now. Slap bracelets. We're going to get into it in a little bit. But first, I have a fish pill update. I don't know if you listened to the episode. There goes a Venice bird. Last week or the week before, I talked a little bit about the struggles of putting a fish pill supplement in my jeans and then washing my clothes. I don't know what my problem is. Maybe it's my schedule. Maybe it's the fact that I don't take the pill when I should and I put it in my pocket. I don't know why I'm putting supplements in my pocket. What am I planning for? I should just take the pill right then and there. So I think it's a lack of commitment to the supplement. I also have a lot of stuff to do. And like a lot of you, we forget the little things. Just these little things. There's so many things to think about. So many. I've got Post-its all over my house. I got to put my dog on the flight. I got to complain to Uber one more time because I'm not going to let it go. Because when I feel like I have been done wrong, I seek out justice. I have emails to send, dry cleaning, UPS. I have Post-its everywhere. And even then I forget stuff. So yes, I forgot a fish pill in my jeans. I'm telling you this because I don't want this to happen to anybody. What's happened to me. It's been 5 loads of washing and it still smells like fish. And the worst part is if you work out or you get hot or you sweat, you smell like hot fish. So it's weird because fish is the only animal that even when it's fresh, it smells bad. And you shove that into a pill form and then heat it up and let it melt into your cotton. You would think that there would be some way to get it out. If anyone has any idea or tricks on how to get the fish pill smell out of my jeans, I'm open to it. JessieMapeLusoComedy@gmail.com. The good thing is that fish don't wear clothes because they would never be able to get that smell out. 5 loads of laundry and I still smell like fish. Well, speaking of something fishy, we have a P. Diddy update. I did a little reading, did a little digging. I don't like to land too long on things that are going on in the world that are controversial and alleged, but this is a 90s episode and Diddy was in the 90s and he was on everyone's record. He weaseled his way into everyone's record. It just feels like when you look backwards, all of the breadcrumbs start to take shape of a full slice and you're like, okay, well, he did call his records Bad Boy Records. So maybe he put it right in our face, kind of like Bill Cosby did with his whole Spanish Fly joke that he had about a drug that you give to women and make them go to sleep. It was called Spanish Fly in the 60s. And he had that joke. And it turns out that's what Bill Cosby liked to do on the weekends. But P. Diddy, Bad Boy Records. Also, his crew was called Dirty Money Crew. Not sounding so good. You know, it's something to say about a narcissist who leads with whatever they're doing. And also people like this where they tend to like to put it out in the open. So I found a full list of the allegations. If you don't know what's going on, good for you. You don't really need to. But I was curious only because of the content of these past couple episodes being about the 90s and Diddy being ever present in the 90s. He was omnipresent in that era. So here are some of the allegations on Diddy. Federal agents with U.S. Homeland Security raided 2 of the rapper's houses in Los Angeles and Miami as he faces a string of accusations. So he's been accused, but I don't think he's actually been found yet. I don't think anyone has found him. Sean Diddy Combs is a rapper and music mogul credited with helping launching the careers of some of the biggest stars. Blah, 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 blah. So here's a few people that are coming out at him. So Cassie Cassandra Ventura, she's an R&B singer whose full name is Cassandra Ventura. She filed a lawsuit in 2023 alleging that she was trafficked, raped, and beaten by Combs on an occasion over 10 years. A decade of all of that. Her lawsuit claimed that Combs brought the singer into his ostentatious, fast-paced, and drug-fueled lifestyle, which kind of surprises me because Diddy always, in my mind, when I remember, and I could be remembering wrong, he kind of portrayed himself being this, like, good boy, but calling himself, like, Bad Boy Records and Dirty Money Crew was just kind of a front. So not long after she met him, he signed her to his label in 2005 when she was just 19, he was 37. So she said that there's a pattern of abuse that began as a relationship started and that she was trying to end it all in 2018. He forced himself onto her in her LA home. So that's one allegation that's on him. There's another allegation. Little Rod, Rodney Jones. This is the most recent lawsuit, claims that Combs filed this in February 2024. Rodney was a producer. He alleged that he was subjected to unwanted advances by associates of P. Diddy at his direction. This is a grown man who is claiming that P. Diddy's, what, Dirty Money crew was doing things to him. It's just so horrible. The producer who worked for Combs between September 22 and November 23 claimed Combs sexually harassed, drugged, and threatened him for more than a year. So, you know, when that stands alone, you're like, probably extortion, maybe somebody looking for money. But when these claims start to accumulate and accusations come from all angles, then we have a case. Then we have, you know, a right to dig in. And it seems like this is a pattern of behavior and a pattern of abuse. Joey Dickerson Neal, I don't know if I'm saying this right. She filed She filed a lawsuit against Combs, allegedly that he drugged her, sexually assaulted her, and secretly recorded the assault when she was a college student. She claims that Combs pushed her to go to dinner with him, and she agreed reluctantly, which is when she alleges that she was drugged, resulting in her being in a physical state where she could not independently stand or walk. And more women have come forward since November. Women have come forward with lawsuits in the District of New York alleging that they were sexually assaulted by Sean Combs, a.k.a. P. Diddy. There's also an anonymous plaintiff in November. An anonymous plaintiff accused Combs and singer Aaron Hall of raping her and a friend in 1990 and 91 after meeting at an MCA Records event in New York where the singers were flirtatious and handsy. The suit alleges that Combs and Hall invited the women to Hall's apartment for an after party where the plaintiff was offered more drinks and was coerced into having sex with Combs. She was shocked and traumatized after it. It's just insane. And so I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole because being 41, coming from this era where all of these people are, you know, they make up the entertainment that you consumed as a child, like Cosby Show and Michael Jackson's records and P. Diddy's records. These were people who filled my childhood with entertainment. So as an adult, I'm intrigued by it because it makes me feel like my childhood was a lie. So I did a little digging and I found this video of Diddy with Justin Bieber when he was just 15 years old. This is Diddy standing with Justin Bieber in his own house, in his carport at Diddy's house, talking about how he's got a Lamborghini ready for Justin when he's 16. It just feels like a sugar daddy thing, and Justin's so impressionable, but I'll just play it for you and let you guys listen to it.
So check this out, yo. Justin, you ever seen the movie 48 Hours? Right now, he's having 48 hours with Diddy, him and his boy.
48 hours with Diddy.
They're having the times of their lives, like, where we hanging out and what we doing. We can't really disclose, but it's definitely a 15-year-old's dream. You know, I have been given custody.
Doesn't look like a 15-year-old's dream.
He signed to Usher.
I
had legal guardianship of Usher when you know he did his first album. I did Usher's first album.
What?
I don't have legal guardianship of him, but for the next 48 hours, he's with me. So and we gonna go full crazy.
The problem. There's so many problems there. First of all, why does Diddy have so many guardianships? He had guardianship of Usher. And he had legal guardianship of Justin Bieber? Why? Are you Mia Farrow? What are you doing? I can see in one realm that being a charitable thing and a generous thing to do. Someone who wants to bring in people and take care of them, like Mia Farrow. But this feels very weird. This feels like a pattern of gross behavior. And there's just a lot of adoptions. Why is Diddy adopting everybody? Then there was a video of him with some young girl that was circulating on the internet. And there's like a lot of these adoptions and guardianships and sleepovers with a grown man. Where are the parents? Maybe hindsight requires 20/20 vision, and I understand all of that, but where are the parents? How badly do you want your child to be successful that you're willing to sell their soul to the devil? Am I wrong for asking that? It seems crazy. How are you going to give guardianship of your 15-year-old to some guy whose company is called Bad Boy Records, and he hangs out with a bunch of friends who call themselves the Dirty Money Crew? What? Do you even want to be a parent anymore? I don't care what your kid says. They're 15. You're still the guardian. I'll tell you something. When I was in my preteens, I was in an acting group in Syracuse, New York. And there was this guy running the group who today I know was definitely strange. And that's being the most minimal about what he was. I'm sure there were other things going on, but we had this like acting camp and there was a performance and he said there was a mandatory sleepover before the performance. And my mom, no pants Nant, says the hell there is. She came down to the acting theater's location and she goes, what's a sleepover? I remember this. My mom challenged everybody who threatened my safety and who threatened my comfort, my safety, my dignity. She would be right by my side. And that's probably why I am the way I am. But I remember her coming down to the local acting theater and being like, what's this sleepover? My daughter is not sleeping anywhere with you. And he was like, well, she can't perform. And my mom's like, so unless she does this sleepover with you and the other kids, where you're the only adult there, she can't perform in the theater? Well, I guess she's not performing in the theater. And I was so upset. So I can see how Justin Bieber was probably like, let me just hang with Diddy for 48 hours. Mine obviously didn't get me the career of Justin Bieber. But my mom was like, the hell she is? There's no way my daughter's having a sleepover. And, you know, it's probably what held me back. It's probably the one decision that Nancy made that was horrible. No, but I think that it's shady. I don't know what's going to come of it. I hope that Diddy isn't this person, but it seems like all arrows are pointing towards pedophile. Pedophile aisle. Well, it's time for a little time travel. We've already traveled in time a little bit. This is I Love the 90s Part 2. I have a lot of things I want to discuss about the 90s, a lot of stuff. And there's so many great aspects that I obviously can't remember all of them. In the last episode, I wanted to dig in more into the stuff I was talking about. So if there's anything that you guys remember or want me to discuss about the 90s while I'm in this little moment, because I think I'm probably going to do a couple more episodes of it here and there, please send me ideas to jessiemaypalusocomedy@gmail.com. First and foremost, I have had these slap bracelets. I don't know if you guys remember. If you know, you know. They were so much fun for 5 minutes. Actually, you know what? I think we had more fun than that because you would just throw them at your friends from across the room. Ow, that one actually kind of got me a little bit. These are actually from the 90s. They also have stains on them, so I don't know what's in them. I don't even know what they're made of. They probably could be causing all sorts of carcinogenic amoebas floating into my skin. But these, I had so many of them. They were such a craze. And it's probably 13 cents of material. I don't remember what they retailed at. I don't know how much they were. I feel like they came in like 3 packs or something. But I loved these bracelets so much. It made me feel so cool. We also wore like choker necklaces. We had like, you know, these plastic necklaces. And if you wore a choker necklace, you were like an emotional girl. Like, no, you can't talk to me. I'm in my choker necklace. I'm holding myself back. It represents society's restriction on a woman's voice. Represents a societal restriction on a female's freedom to speak of herself. You know, normally I like to get into Maybay's Maybay's mail a little bit later, but somebody sent me a fun message about the last episode we did. I don't know how to say your name. It's a bunch of consonants, so I'm just going to read your email. The subject is, no, I don't want no pigeons. So I already know what we're getting into. Hey, Jessie Mae, just listened to your 90s episode. So good. I was born in 89, but I have an older sibling who influenced me. / I copied his every move. I did the same with my sister. And so 90s culture is still a big part of my life. Remember Big Dog shirts? Oh my God, Big Dog shirts. I think I had a La Jolla, La Jolla. Day-o. I had a Big Dog's Hoya shirt. I think it was a college in DC. I had one of those shirts for sure. Crazy Sexy Cool is still my favorite album of all time. No Scrubs though. What a classic. I may have lip synced for my life to that song in front of the mirror wearing a towel as a wig when I was 10. Same. The I Don't Want No Pigeons clap back was so stupid. And then Who Let the Dogs Out? I can't believe that was allowed. The one pain point I have about the 90s looking back at it was how we all co-signed on these movies that portrayed women, mostly high school and college, as the object of humiliation, degradation. American Pie, She's All That. It is what it is. It is very interesting that all the movies were chopping women down and women had to be made over to be beautiful. As they were wasn't enough. I do agree with that. I had no clue Left Eye burned down her boyfriend's house. I guess it makes sense because I was only 5 at the time. You're welcome. I grew up in Niagara Falls, Canada side. Had a lot of upstate New York friends. It's so nice hearing you talk about Syracuse and listening to your upstate New York accent because it makes me feel more like home. I'm so happy I discovered you. It was actually by watching Whitney Cummings' podcast where you were a guest. Specifically, the episode I'm referring to aired in January 2023, but it's no longer available and can't find it anywhere on YouTube or podcast. Do you know why it was removed? It was hilarious. I didn't know that. I think that was the last episode we did, right? That's interesting. I wonder why the episode was taken down. I didn't know that at all. We're going to have to call Miss Whitney and be like, why did you take my episode down? So Crazy Sexy Cool was such a great album. I don't know if anyone out there was in love with TLC. It was kind of like a take on Hear No Evil, See No Evil, Speak No Evil, all three of them on the cover, just their heads. It was iconic. I have a t-shirt with it. I should have wore the t-shirt today. Actually, I think the t-shirt's back in Syracuse. I'm gonna have to bring it back for the next time I do a 90s episode. I might actually have to do a 90s episode when I'm back home these next couple days in my bedroom, because it will be officially the last time I will be able to be in that house before the actual closing. And I decided to hop on a plane and just help my sister out one last time before we say goodbye to the house for good. So the Crazy Sexy Cool album was probably one of the most iconic albums of that era for me. So thank you so much to the person whose name I can't pronounce. Bohan Karjacek. And thank you for letting me know that Whitney deleted my episode. You know, for sure I'm going to call her and be like, girl, what happened? What'd you do? The other thing I thought about when I think about the 90s are the malls. All the malls. We hung out at malls. If you were a 90s baby, you were in a mall. You were hanging out. What were you doing? You were sitting in the cafeteria. You were chilling. You were just walking around with your big baggy jeans. You were thinking about stealing makeup. You were thinking about stealing from Old Navy. You were thinking about running around and causing a ruckus. That is the way I grew up. We grew up in malls. We were the mall culture. We had mall bangs. Mall bangs. The mall had its own hairstyle. Who remembers when the mall had its own hairstyle? I had mall bangs. You had mall bangs. I don't even know why they were called mall bangs. They should have been called tidal wave bangs. They should have been called tsunami bangs because it looked like a wave coming at you. And you'd have to roll the one little piece of hair down and spray that with Aquanet. Then you curled the top part back and it just looked like a Muppet mouth on your forehead. And you were like, boom, we're going to the mall in our mall bangs. Life is good. I miss the 90s. I really do. The malls were so much fun. It was just a time to like walk around with your friend, with, you know, the boy that you thought was cute at school. And you'd be like, meet me at the mall. You want to go see Jurassic Park? Yeah, I did. And you'd hold hands and you thought that was sex because you were innocent and confused. And maybe it was then. Maybe holding hands back then was more sexual than sex is today as an adult. I don't know. But all I can say is the mall was a magical place. It was a place where there were so many opportunities and so many possibilities and magic. There was Spencer Gifts. There was Claire's Boutique. Oh, so chic. Am I going to get my ear pierced today? I don't know. Do we have enough time?
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
The mall was a magical place where I came into my teenage years, where I became a woman. I became a woman in Carousel Mall. You're welcome, Syracuse, New York. Don't ever forget about it. We interrupt this regularly scheduled program to bring you a word from our sponsors. Oak Essentials is back. I really do love this skincare brand. I love their balm. You know, I've talked about the balm. It's nutrient rich and a little goes a long way, which I love that because I'm a frugal woman. I'm a frugal femme. I don't like to have a product that I'm using and it's gone in a couple scoops. I need it to last. I need to feel like I'm getting a good bang for my buck. And let me tell you, this moisture-rich balm makes you feel luminous and glowing. It helps your skin not be so dry. I don't know if you have like really cracked skin like I do and you can see your age in your hands, which I'm looking at right now. I definitely need a little bit of moisture balm on my hands. But the true showstopper for me is the body scrub. Ooh, this body scrub. I think I told you about it last time. Scrubbed away all of my sins and a few of my moles. Well, it didn't really scrub away my moles, but it really is kind of this experience you should have with yourself. Because I scrubbed it on my feet and I felt it for a good day afterwards. My feet were so luxurious for days after using this body scrub. And I have to say, I was not sure because I've used body scrubs before and it just feels like it's scraping off everything. My moles, my wrinkles, my skin. But the body scrub actually really made my skin feel luxurious, soft. It actually made it look shiny afterwards. I'm a huge fan, so I'm just going to be saturated with their products. I'm going to be luxuriated and feeling amazing. And you can too. You can treat yourself or someone else this season. My followers are going to get 15% off their first order when they use code SHARP at checkout. That's SHARP. And that's 15% off. Plus, you know what else we're going to give you? A free gift with your first order at oakessentials.com. Promo code SHARP. So go ahead and treat yourself and luxuriate. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it. The mall was just so magical. You know what else was magical that we didn't talk about last week? Is Blockbuster. If you don't know about Blockbuster, you don't know about life. Blockbuster was a place you'd go and talk about possibilities. Blockbuster held all the possibilities on the wall in the shape of a VHS tape. VHS tapes. And that was the only way you could see a movie. There were two ways you could see a movie. When it made it to the theater, and then your ass had to wait until Blockbuster picked it up. And you'd have your dad drive you on the weekend that he got you. You'd pull up to Blockbuster. You'd have a plan. Because Blockbuster would have like rent three for one. Like rent one, get one. They had all these deals. Blockbuster had deals every week. You're not leaving with one movie. You can't leave with one movie. You have to leave with a few. And so your dad would pull up. You'd go in. You'd get a few horror movies, maybe a comedy. Maybe we're going to do like an Ace Ventura, Jurassic Park double feature. It just felt like a magical land of cinematic possibility. And it was. And it was simple. And it was scarce. You know why it was so magical? Because it was scarce. Because that was the only way you could watch the movie. You couldn't splice it off of YouTube. You couldn't stream it on seven different streamers. You had two opportunities. And this is what's wrong with us today. We're too satisfied. And nobody wants to watch movies now because you can watch movies all the time. Take me back to movie theaters and Blockbuster any day. I miss it. I miss it so much. I miss the simplicity. I miss the selection. Blockbuster's aisles to me were a lot like the aisles of the cereal aisle in the grocery store. You were like, man, what am I feeling today? What am I feeling today? Because there are so many choices and you didn't have option paralysis like you did today. You were able to make a decision because it was sedentary. It was right there. It was one singular moment. And you weren't distracted with your cell phone. You didn't have a bunch of notifications going off. You weren't worried about the thousand things you had to do because you were able to just focus on that one beautiful moment of just choosing your box of cereal or boxes of cereal if your mom was rich and got paid a couple times that week. You were able to choose a couple different movies because your dad felt bad. He wasn't living in the house anymore and he wanted you to feel loved. So he let you get a couple extra movies. I remember standing in line and being like, Dad, just one more movie, please. He'd be like, no. And I'd be like, please, please. He'd be like, okay. That's how easy it was to get me to break Joe Peluso down. Nancy would put her foot down in the cereal aisle more than Joe would in the Blockbuster aisle. I came home with stacks of movies, stacks. And I'd be like, Nancy, you better step up your game. Joey and I took a few laps through these aisles. I only came home with one box of honeycombs, you cheap. Lovely mom, I almost said a swear word. I can't do that. No pants nance. R.I.P. She wouldn't like it if she were alive, so I can't do it while she's dead. She dead. My dad's dead. Everybody's dead. The 90s are dead. And I'm here to bring it all back. I'm here to relive it all. Well, one of the things I wanted to relive on this episode were the snacks from the 90s. The snacks from the 90s were so magical. Everything we ate was unnatural. All the snacks in the 90s that we ate were unnatural. Even the artificial, the flavor. Even the flavor was artificial. There weren't real flavors. Are you kidding me? I think that's what has contributed to our ADD, our ADHD, our depression, our insecurity, our gut rot, halitosis. What people have that gout. We can blame the food we ate in the 90s on all of that. None of it was made from an actual food source. Are you kidding me? Even the flavors were artificial. None of it was real, and we loved it. Even the flavor was fake, and we loved it. We lived. And so I have to go through the list of the snacks. There was this list of like the top snacks from the 90s, and boy, did it take my taste buds down a walk on memory lane. All my taste buds were like in a time travel machine and so happy. So these are all the things that we ate back from the 90s, those horrible snacks where even the flavor was fake. And I hope it brings you down a little bit of a walk down memory lane. First up, Squeeze-Its. Does anybody remember Squeeze-Its? Oddly sexual. Just, there were a lot of snacks. There were a lot of snacks in the 90s that burst in your mouth. So we might need to, we might have a Me Too case on Squeeze-Its. Squeeze-Its were oddly sexual. Probably the drink of choice on Epstein Island. Very flavorful, nothing natural. Artificially flavored. A squirt of joy in your mouth. Dino egg instant oatmeal. It turned your children into a paleontologist. And the only thing instant about that meal were the diabetes you got afterwards. But you were like, I feel like I'm discovering new species. I'm basically John Hamm. Was that the John Hammond from Jurassic Park? Spare no expense. Get me the dino egg instant oatmeal because I'm a paleontologist. You were able to eat and discover a brontosaurus and a pterodactyl in your bowl of oatmeal. That's the way they had to get us to eat something that was semi-nutritious, still filled with sugar. They're like, what can we do to get these kids to eat this? Turn them into a paleontologist. Warheads. You remember Warheads? The only thing we're at war with now is Ozempic because of those snacks. Warheads wreaked havoc on your taste buds. It literally felt like war in your mouth. French Toast Crunch. I loved that cereal. That cereal felt luxurious. I'll take the diabetes. Give me a bowl of French Toast Crunch right now. Are you kidding me? Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Probably one of the greatest cereals in the 90s. Come at me. I'm taking the diabetes. If I'm getting Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I'm taking the diabetes. Goldfish? Goldfish were, what a great snack. It was the pet that fed you. Do you remember Goldfish? I mean, do you remember? It's still around. It never left us. Goldfish never left us. It stuck around. It stayed in our soul. You guys remember Toaster Strudels? Look, every time I had a Toaster Strudel, I felt continental. I'm like, am I Swedish? Did I just get on a one-way first-class flight to Finland? Where the fuck am I right now? Because my taste buds aren't here. I think I'm some sort of... I must be a part of the famous family in Sweden if I'm eating this Toaster Strudel right now. It came with a sauce. Remember the little sauce? You'd try and match the way that the package had the sauce on the cover with the Toaster Strudel. Could never quite get it right. Those were so delicious. Every time I wrapped my mouth around a Toaster Strudel, I felt so continental. I felt so fancy. I'm like, man, I am a jet setter. Also, Rice Krispie Treat cereal. Maybe the one cereal that never got it right. The only thing that tastes like Rice Krispie treats are Rice Krispie treats. You can't do the bars. You can't do the cereal. They never tasted right. They always tasted so artificial. I mean, everything on this list is artificial. But when you taste like the artificial version of something artificial, you've got a problem. You're already artificial. So the flavor can't be artificial anymore. I tried to love it, but ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. I love real Rice Krispie treats. Maybe one of my favorite, like, child snacks as an adult to this day. Let's see what else we have on this list. Easy cheese. Spray cheese in a can. Look, if it's easy, it's not good for you. It didn't taste like cheese. It tasted like metal and yellow. But we were just loading ourselves up with easy cheese. For some kids, that was a meal. They'd pack a can of easy cheese and we'd go for a lap around the school yard, living our life. Easy cheese was a snack and a meal. But let me tell you, if it's easy, it's not good for you. And speaking of easy, Lunchables. You didn't live in the 90s if you didn't eat Lunchables. Lunchables were the Lunchables were the meal for the kid whose mom didn't care to make lunch. If you came to school with a Lunchable, people questioned if you had parents. Is anyone home? It was a to-go lunch with turkey slices. And it also had, what else was in that thing? It had like a mini Capri Sun. They would switch up the snack. So basically it was just a lunch for a family that was on its way out. If you ate Lunchables, your parents were for sure divorced. If you ate Lunchables, your mom moved in the neighbor's dad. Lunchables for the kid whose mom could give a shit about making lunch. Who remembers Ring Pops? Whenever I slabbed a Ring Pop on my finger, I'm like, oh my God, am I getting married today? I would walk around, pretend I was married to myself. Or I'd set up my Barbies and Ken and we'd have a marriage ceremony. Ring Pops made me feel like love was possible. Ring Pops made me feel like marriage was real and it was between a man and a woman. I'm a heterosexual child. I'm a heterosexual woman. And it is going to last forever. And it took forever to finish those Ring Pops. I don't think I ever finished a Ring Pop in my life. I don't remember finishing one ever. It was a lot of candy. It was a lot to suck on. Gushers? Another oddly sexual snack. Good source of vitamin C. You know what else is a good source of vitamin C? Every fruit. Nope. Gonna have a package of Gushers instead. Why can't I pay attention to anything today? Packages of Gushers and Squeeze-Its. Uncrustables. Before we get to Uncrustables, I want to talk about Capri Sun. Capri Sun, if you weren't careful, you would poke your eye out with that straw. You had to really be careful when you were sticking the straw in the Capri Sun because you could pierce through the bag and into your hand. That thing was like a teeny samurai sword. And it was two sips and the Capri Sun was gone. But I did like the fact that you could squeeze the whole bag and get every last drop. I drank a Capri Sun and it just... Are we selling the idea of luxury to a teenager? I feel like I'm on a beach right now. It was like a luxurious diabetes juice. And it was so thirst quenching that you had to have another and another and another. So it was like your thirst was never quenched because it was packed full of sugar. Why can't I pay attention to anything today? I'm blaming Capri Sun. I'm coming for you. Class action lawsuit against Capri Sun. Who's with me? Uncrustables. Let me tell you something. You're never going to take Uncrustables away from me. I have an Uncrustable in my freezer right now. It's one of those snacks that has permeated decades. It's stood the test of time. An Uncrustable will get you through a little sugar craving. It'll make you feel nostalgic. You know, you can have a little lemonade with an Uncrustable and thank me later. They still hold up. They're still delicious. I still have them in my freezer. It doesn't make me a bad person. I can't go through the whole list, but the last snack that I really loved on this list was Fun Dip. Fun Dip. Cocaine starter pack for a preteen. Remember Fun Dip? You felt like Tony Montoya whenever you slab that little hard piece of candy in there. You'd stick that hard piece in there. You'd get a whole bunch of dust. You'd suck it off. Sometimes you'd put it in a line, curious to try cocaine, but then you got scared and you blew it all away because you didn't want your mom to to ground you. Fun Dip, the cocaine starter kit for teenagers. I think we just need to rebrand all of this and put it back out for us as adults. I want to open a snack shop for people who grew up in the 90s and just have 90s snacks. I think it would be a fun time. And reading all these snacks brought me back. I mean, we ate all of this stuff. None of it was food. All I ate as a child were artificial flavors. That's it. Nothing was real. Even the Lunchables. That meat was never on a turkey. I bet you it was on like the shape and the idea of a turkey that never put its feet on grass. I bet that turkey was in a factory and it probably didn't even make turkey noises and probably never knew love and it never even became a turkey dinner. It just became a Lunchable. I want to know where Lunchable got their turkey meat from. I want to know where it was sourced from. I'm going to have to make that a note for next week. Write that down, Deb. Turkey meat source from Lunchables. I really want to know. I want to know where the heck it came from because I don't trust it. The snacks of the 90s were magical and probably the reason why a lot of us have all sorts of health problems we could probably blame on the snacks in the 90s, but it doesn't mean that we didn't have a good time when we ate it. You know, ignorance truly is bliss. Maybe we didn't need to know. Maybe nutrition facts are also a scam. I don't know. Maybe happiness and just having a moment of joy eating something that you know is so bad for you. You know what? Even as a kid, you didn't know it was bad for you. That's probably why you were able to eat it and not die. But I did miss these snacks and I thought about them and I was like, man, I got to read these to these people and see if it sparks a little bit of nostalgia in anybody else. I hope these episodes spark a little nostalgia for you guys because it's a lot of fun to go down memory lane, especially when you become an adult and you think about stuff and you've forgotten for years and remember that you had so much fun watching and playing and being a kid out in the world. I grew up in such a great era. And I really enjoyed growing up in that time. Everything was so tangible and analog, and the scarcity of it all was what made it so beautiful. If you wanted something, you had to go out and grab it with your hands. And if you wanted to see your friend, you had to meet him at the mall with your shaved sideburns and your big jeans and your cassette tape on your hip. And your attitude and your eyeliner that you may or may not just have stolen from the store down in the basement of Carousel Mall, aka Carousel Mall, that's now Destiny USA. I don't know. But there's something beautiful about nostalgia. It's like time travel we can do today. It's time travel aside from what Elon Musk is doing. It's the cheapest time travel you could do. Having a little nostalgic moment. You just have to be careful that it doesn't drag you too deep into the past. You just want to visit the past. You don't want to live there. So hopefully this episode helped you realize that your childhood wasn't as bad as you thought. You had a pretty good childhood. Even though you ate artificial flavors your whole life, you're okay. And we're okay. And I appreciate you guys so much. And I hope you had fun on this episode. And keep living. Love you guys.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.